Today isn't the birthday of Ilya, son of Amran, and the people of the world and Iran don't know a thing about Father's Day. But Father's Day in Tasawwuf and mysticism is a celebration whose date and nature will be revealed in the future within the empire of Tasawwuf. Anyway, a happy Father's Day to the spiritual father of the world, the complete human, whom I don't dare speak about, and a happy Father's Day to my father, who showed kindness by creating my body so that my soul could come to know that beautiful one. I'd like to wish my dear father a happy Father's Day and thank you for allowing us to exist. This is 82. Welcome to Restart. Thanks for letting us exist. Welcome to episode 82, dear listeners of Radio Pashto. You're hearing our voice from the Restart Center. Happy Father's Day to all dear Iranians and dear fathers. The people of Tasawwuf generally consider a celebration to be legitimate if more than 51% of people celebrate it. Meaning, if a group of people hold a celebration, the people of Tasawwuf say that day should be celebrated. Consider, for example, that Jesus, son of Mary, has no father at all. Yet we keep hearing him say, "My father told me," and so on. Why doesn't this strike us? How can someone who has no father and was born without a father speak so much about the father? Who is this father that the whole world is crazy about? In reality, Jesus makes a direct reference to the complete human of his era and considers him his spiritual father, which is why Jesus always wished a happy Father's Day. Similarly, during the time of Cyrus the Great, a great Sufi, Father's Day was considered one of the best days and celebrations of that historical period. This means that the real Father's Day for Cyrus the Great was the day of his rebirth with that spiritual father, the complete human of his time. It's very interesting. If we're going to celebrate Father's Day, the dates change. What does this mean? It's possible that a complete human became the complete human 20 years ago, for example. We assume that, God willing, the same complete human will be in the world for another 500 years. Well, the day he became the complete human becomes the spiritual Father's Day for the people of the world. This means the only way to salvation is with this Father. The way to God is only through this Father. The way to spiritual journey is only through this Father. Praying in mosques, churches, and synagogues is only through this Father. This is what's called Father's Day. That's why all religions and the entire world celebrate Father's Day without even knowing it themselves. You and I are the physical fathers when we have children. But Father's Day and the Father is the same one Jesus was talking about. He said, "The Father told me such and such." He's the spiritual Father. Why has Father's Day been celebrated for thousands of years? It's like how the Zoroastrians have claimed the holiday of Chahashanbe Suri as their own, and then you found out that it isn't like that at all. It's the physical day of the complete human. The complete human has a spiritual day, which is the day he becomes the father of the universe. And that day becomes Father's Day. Now, if 20 years ago, on a certain day, this complete human of the current era became the spiritual father of the whole world, we should celebrate that day. And after this complete human departs and the next complete human arrives, we must celebrate the day the next complete human arrives. So, according to the rule, this is how Father's Day should be celebrated. The discovery of the complete human has very strange aspects. For example, Moses himself marries the daughter of Jethro, who was the complete human himself, but Moses didn't know Jethro. What does "didn't know" mean? It means he didn't realize who Jethro was on his spiritual journey. I mean, the day Moses becomes a restarter and Jethro's daughters beside the river tell Moses that our father is the complete human and the spiritual father of the people, Moses is initially surprised. If that's the case, then why does he live in such a place? Why does the Pharaoh oppress and kill so many people? Don't you see these things? And Jethro's daughters tell him that's not his job at all. The one who goes to change the regime is a prophet. Moses is later sent as a prophet to change the Pharaoh's regime. And he understands this later. So when he marries Jethro's daughter, he has married the daughter of the complete human but doesn't know it. He has become a restarter, and Jethro has already brought him into the restart. Yet Moses still didn't know until he put his wife, who was pregnant, on a donkey and told her to go. Even then, Moses didn't know who the complete human was. When the fire spoke to Moses, Moses still didn't know and thought the fire was God. It continues like this until he gets to the point where he has changed the regime, the government is gone, and he thinks that since he has taken the government, he will become the king of the world, and his name will change to Sultan. Then he realizes it's not what he thought. He must live in a corner like Jethro. After this, for a moment, he is surprised by the grandeur of his own spiritual journey, and a command comes. He recognizes the complete human here, but he only recognizes 34% of him. Moses asks what he should do. They say, "You haven't been spiritually trained yet." He asks what that means. "Is there anyone greater than me?" They say, "Yes." "Do you remember the day I told you to bring me one of the worst creatures?" He says, "Yes." He says, "On that day, you thought of that dog." That moment when the complete human was talking to him, whom Moses thought was his God, he later understood. The complete human told him to bring the worst creature. On the way to get to the Mount Tor, he thought of a dog. "I mean, you thought of a dog. You thought maybe this is it." He said, "The day you thought of a dog, you went into the air." He said, "Now what should I do?" He said, "Go to such and such a place. There is another beautiful one, the Sufi Shams Tabrizi. Go there." So he went to Khidr. And that story I told you about, which you've heard so well in previous restarts, where Khidr told him, "You will never understand what I understand, so go." And if Moses had remained silent, do you know what silence means? It means like the requests we have from the complete human right now. Many people want money. Many people want status. Many people want a position. Any request, any question you ask on the spiritual journey will set you back. This is a place for silence. This is a place for not knowing. Just like you don't understand, this is you who knows that you are ignorant. This is the science of tasawwuf and mysticism. For this reason, when Moses arrived there, if he had been silent, all his words would have been logical. If he had been silent, many other oceans would have opened up for him, which unfortunately Moses did not do. This is a very important point. And later they say Moses' 12 portions of provisions were given after they crossed the river. Now whatever happens, we won't get into it. Then a command came to him to go live in a corner. If the lover takes a breath, Saadi. There is a very beautiful saying in Saadi's Golistan. My friend is closer to me than I am to myself, and it's stranger still that I am far from him. What can I do? Who can I tell that he is next to me and I am abandoned? The story is that Saadi was giving a speech and saw that the people, these goats, were sitting there and didn't understand a thing. He got upset and said, "They don't understand a thing. They don't know that beautiful one is closer to them than their jugular vein and is stuck to them like the pull of the earth's gravity, and they don't know it." In the middle of this, he said, "My friend is closer to me than I am to myself, and it's stranger still that I am far from him. What can I do? Who can I tell that he is next to me and I am abandoned?" One person in the crowd started screaming and fainted. It was then that Saadi said, "So there are people who are close to us but far away, and some people who are far away but close. The connection between a human and that beautiful one or the complete human is not about time or location. It's about the heart, and here they buy tired bodies and broken hearts. Your heart must be broken to see what's going on." He says that the lover who sees even the smallest screen of the complete human will scream and faint, just as you have heard throughout history that Jesus fainted several times. You've heard that when Moses reached Mount Sinai, the fire said, "I am your God." It didn't say, "I am from your God." It said, "I am your God." He fainted. When Gabriel came to Muhammad ibn Abdullah in the cave of Hira, he fainted. He was under a blanket for 3 days, sweating for 3 days. So this fainting exists in tasawwuf. It means that when the gate from the world of material to the spiritual realm shakes a little, you faint a little. Why? Because your body can't handle it. Your physical body can't handle this. It's exactly like the moment of death. Many people don't know. They wonder what happens at the moment of death. What happens at the moment when a silkworm turns into a butterfly and is born? The more dirty, tougher, and more physical the silkworm's skin is, the harder it is for the butterfly to tear that skin and come out. This is the pressure of the grave they talk about as a joke. When the soul wants to pull this temporal space out of your body, to take it out, a pain comes. The more your attachment to the universe, your attachment to your mother, your father, your money, your position, your status, your attachment to this dictator, your attachment to those things, the harder it is for it to be pulled out. Why? Because it's stuck. I mean, every attachment is a stick. The soul has 700 heads from you. Every star goes under and over. This means exactly this. It means wherever you are connected to something, you get stuck in this body. Pulling the soul out of this body is difficult. It's a temporal change. The person who's stuck feels a little more pain and a little more hardship. But when you come out, this pressure of the grave slips away and you say, "In the name of God." The gravestone and such are just a joke, so you can understand the depth of the matter. You can understand the depth of any story. That time I told you what? I said, the complete human turned to Moses and said, "Bring the worst creature." Well, who should I bring now? From the officials of your regime, please tell me, who should I bring? At that time, Moses didn't think of the Pharaoh. Who should he bring? Honestly, if a command came, "If you make a mistake, I'll destroy you." Well, I'd be scared. Who should he bring? Tell me now, which of the regime's officials should I bring? From abroad, who should I bring? Should I bring Muammar Gaddafi, the leader of Iran, Hashemi, Ahmadinejad, Saddam? Now I'm told to bring the worst creature. Who should I bring? Think about this. I mean, right now, thinking about this as you sit here is the end of mysticism and tasawwuf. Just think, who would you take up there? Would you take your mother? Your sister-in-law, your mother-in-law, your wife's mother? Who would you find to take? The more people you can take, the further behind you are. You have to know that there's no one worse than yourself. This is the end of mysticism. So a Sufi who has reached this level now, if you tell him to bring the worst creature, will quickly run up there. He's not like Moses. A Sufi now is not like Moses. He runs. Moses, at that time, when he had become a Sufi, thought of a dog. He also really thought of the Pharaoh. He thought of 400 places. Who should he take up there? The Sufi who exists now is the evolution of humanity. He has progressed. Without hesitation, he goes up himself. He has progressed that much. Complete humans are the end. They have reached completion. They are the complete human of their time. The complete human of today certainly knows much more than the one from 4,000 years ago. This is certain. The leader is the father. Who do you bring? Think. You'll understand before the fire comes, before you scream, before you faint. Think, you'll understand. Husseini understands that he himself is the worst of all. Honestly, I haven't reached this level yet that I'm the worst of all. I really haven't. I still have a few people I can take. I still honestly have a few people that I can easily take. Yes, these stories are stories that we must understand what is going on. He says, the world becomes all sea. The sea in awe becomes nothing. Look, the whole world feels like it's in the sea. Now, I want to explain this. I want to explain a few points about the world of power today. He says, The physical realm and the spiritual realm becomes a sea. When a lover screams, when a lover's heart is broken from the bottom of their heart, the throne of God, as our Muslim friends say, shakes in the heart. He says, at this moment when he screams, the world becomes all sea. The sea in awe becomes nothing. I didn't want to reveal this secret, but I have to explain it so we can understand. If everyone who denies God, who opposes God, who opposes God's movement, who opposes God's behavior, who opposes God's actions, and who opposes God's words were to go to hell, The first infidels would have been those idiotic angels when God created humans. All of them opposed it. You yourself are saying in your religious books that the first true infidels were them. He says, no human is left and no human being if they unite with the human. He says that when God was breathing his spirit into the human, everyone became an infidel. And it's true, you've read it in your religious books. That's a joke story. They all opposed it. You're just clinging to some useless notion and shouting at Satan. You're not paying attention to the point. The reason Satan became like this is a different matter. Satan says the same thing that all the angels said. You've read it in your books. They all say, what is this that you have created? What does this have that you have created? Is this also a creature that you have created? Think, in front of God, in front of who? Not in front of him. He is in front of the complete human, in front of who? Who is carrying out an excavation operation in the complete human to breathe that which is within himself into him? In short, everyone is against it. You're clinging to Satan? The reason Satan left was his justification. Their opposition was because of their lack of understanding. Satan's was because of his understanding. Theirs was because of ignorance, lack of understanding, illiteracy, and lack of knowledge. They said, what did you create? Satan also said, what did you create? But Satan's intention was, I understand more than that one. This is what made Satan, Satan, not his disbelief. So all the infidels are in paradise. Listen, sir, listen. Everyone who denies God is in paradise. Which paradise? The paradise that Tasawwuf has? Anyone who curses God is in paradise. It's not God's problem at all. What's in the world is not outside of you. It all came out of the filthy inner self of Satan. What's in the world is not outside of you, Satan. That's where the conflict began. They denied it out of ignorance and lack of understanding. You have your religion and I have mine. Lakum dinukum walidin. You have your religion and I have mine means you don't understand the point. It means you have your religion and I have mine. So it's clear that the infidels have a religion because you have your religion and I have mine. This means everyone has a religion. So the denier has a religion. Anyone who is godless has a religion. All we've been saying is we have our religion and you have yours. The one who says Moses has his religion and Jesus has his means we're completely in the air. The only religion is the one that is Father's Day now. What does that mean? What does a spiritual father mean? So in every era, he exists. The test is permanent until the day of judgment. Every night is a test. Every day is a test. Every moment is a test. It's for everyone to find him and come. Only then does it become Father's Day. Only then can he say, I have a father. You have no father at all. We are all Christ. We are all fatherless. We think we have a father. To say Christ was fatherless means exactly this. It means you should understand you have no father at all. Why do you wish a happy Father's Day? Why do you celebrate it? Fatherless. When are you with a father? When you know the complete human, only then do you understand that you have a father. What child who doesn't know their father and mother celebrates Father's Day? Now, your father has passed away. You can't call and wish him a happy birthday. A person who doesn't know their father can't wish him a happy birthday. All the men in society become your fathers? Should you wish everyone a happy birthday? Now you have plenty of fathers. Every priest is your father. Every rabbi is your father. Sunni and Shia, well, be careful with your mother. So many fathers. So you and I are fatherless. When we know the complete human, only then do we become with a father. Moses marries the daughter of the complete human, but doesn't understand. He goes on his spiritual journey and understands at the end. Then he understands Kidr. Oh my God, this was his father. This was the one who sent Gabriel. From where? From the world of power. Which world of power? What is power? We don't know. We don't know. We don't know anything. My beautiful one, we don't know a thing, my dear. We just talk. We've only known one moon and the same one solar system. And even that, if it weren't for the people of Tasawwuf and mysticism, would be nothing. If Chaim hadn't existed, if Galileo hadn't existed, these four people who were great Sufi masters, if they hadn't existed, we would know nothing. If Archimedes hadn't existed, you'd know nothing. From them to Diogenes, he says, so the infidels of that era didn't get upset at all. Rumi is explaining it here. He says, look, if you're godless, don't be sad. I love you because I'm also godless. You and I are godless. The world becomes nothing. He says, the world becomes all sea when a lover screams. Who is the lover? This is very interesting. There is no barrier between the lover and the beloved. These are important points. It's all connected. He says, if the lover's soul screams and shouts, the world becomes all sea. The sea in awe becomes nothing. Everyone denies it. There's no one in the world who doesn't deny it. Who? So there is no God but him. La ilaha. So all the angels and creatures that, according to you religious people, God created when he was about to give them to the complete human before the breathing, everyone became nothing. The awe of nothing settled upon them. Everyone became an infidel until when? Until he breathed into the complete human. When he breathed, he said, there is no God but this beautiful one. All the infidels became nothing. It was at the moment of breathing that the world and all, the world becomes all sea, the sea in awe becomes nothing. They deny it. No human is left and no human being if they unite with the human. When the lover screams and breathes into the beloved, and the beloved breathes into the lover, everything changes. Smoke rises from the heavens. Neither creatures nor kingdom remain. Suddenly, from that smoke, a fire strikes the greatest dome. The sky will split at that moment, neither mountain nor place remains. A great commotion falls upon the world, and this joy turns to mourning. By God, we don't understand anything from this. Now you don't even know about Abjad or astronomy. Why don't you and I know? Because if we knew, we would have to talk for 30-something years about each of its verses. We don't know what's behind it because we don't understand the depth of the matter. Some of these Sufis, if you see that something has emerged in the world in terms of science and knowledge from these Sufis and mystics, it's because they were drunk. You know, they suddenly got drunk, drank more alcohol than their limit, and something came out. One of them is Azizuddin Nasafi, who suddenly got drunk. Another one is Baba Taher Hamadani, whose every point, besides these couplets we've put and you're listening to, has other things as well. Baba Taher, he got drunk. Another one is Rumi. I existed when Adam did not exist. I existed when the world did not exist. I existed when this breath did not exist. I am the creator of the names. I am the creator of the names. I created the sky, good man, Azizuddin Nasafi. Well, it takes courage to speak about the world of power. He says, if we want to explain the world of power briefly, we had the physical realm, the spiritual realm, and power. We talk about them and we have different explanations. Mr. Azizuddin Nasafi says that the world of power is when the lover soul takes a breath and sets fire to this world. The world of power is divided into three parts: pen, paper, and ink. Now, these are apparent examples. He says that after this begins, the pen of God is taken. So what happened? The world of power is a closed world. He says it's a world where all the worlds of the universe are in it, but they haven't been opened yet. They haven't been separated. It's crude oil, and its derivatives aren't known. It hasn't been extracted. They've known crude oil for millions of years, but its extraction is expensive. It hasn't been extracted yet. It's crude oil. He says the world of power is this crude oil. He doesn't say that. I'm giving an example. He speaks more powerfully than that. A Sufi says the world of power is closed. So we say, what's in this closed world of power? He says that to understand this, the way to understand it is to know how to extract it. He says, well, you have to drill a hole, go down and pull it up and take it away. Many countries have oil, but they have to use foreign engineers to extract it. For example, from foreign Sufis, this extraction is the hand he talks about, the hand of the Sufi. So what is the complete human? The complete human himself is the oil well. You have to pull him out, give his derivatives out. Every one of these that you give their derivatives out, you become a Sufi. That's when Rumi says, I am the creator of the names, meaning I made this. Don't be sad. I am the creator of gasoline. It's true. I am the creator of gasoline. He has given this gasoline out. It's true. It's logical. Azizuddin Nasafi is a little drunk. He says a phrase here that is full of meaning. He says, ink, pen, and paper. Azizuddin Nasafi says that when Hu, the listener, picked up the pen, he dipped it in the inkwell in the ocean of ink, this same ocean we're talking about. Before the Big Bang, there was a heaven and an earth, and there was another one before that. Azizuddin Nasafi says, as simply as this, when God picked up the pen, bravo, excellent. He dipped it in the ink. Bravo, yes. He put it on the paper. The first dot he put, its name is the complete human. This means the pen went on the paper and the complete human was created. He dragged the dot to the left, it became a line, up, down, a triangle, this way, that way, the world, this way, that way, Mars. You cannot write Mars on paper without first putting the pen down. So what happens first? First it becomes a dot, and then you write Mars. Then it started to be written. He wrote so much, so you would know where the world is. Where in the world are you? They say, look at this ocean. Go look at it if you have one near your house. Go look 300 kilometers away, too. Assume all this ink is gone. I'll take a pen and write a few words on it. How much of this ocean will come out? Billions. Billions. I can keep writing like this. Azizuddin Nasafi says that when you put the pen on the paper, the complete human was created. When he was created, everything that was written came from this dot. He wrote so much that the ocean's water dried up. And you're talking about before the Big Bang, about four Venuses and Mars and Bahram, as we say. You still haven't seen anything. You still haven't seen anything, just so you know. Tell me, what's behind Jupiter? What's on the other side? This same Mars you talk so much about, look at what it's like. What's behind Venus? They still don't know anything. Now Azizuddin Nasafi gets drunk here and reveals the point. He says, sir, so you and I can understand, I'll tell you a secret. What is it? He says it's like sperm. Then he gives an explanation that is truly worth billions of dollars. It could be made into a book and published, and people would sell it and make a living. A philosopher is exactly this. He sits and thinks about the universe and tells you his thoughts. All these books you buy and sell, it all comes from that. Azizuddin Nasafi opens it up and says, what is a sperm? Think about it. Mr. Hosseini, explain a sperm. Sperm is very interesting. Is your car in the sperm? No, Hosseini. Is the earth in the sperm? No, Hosseini. Is the sky in the sperm? No, Hosseini. Is your mom sperm? No, my dad, I was in my mom's belly. Is milk in the sperm number? Bravo. A sperm is something small. It also denies God. It also denies everything. What's the reason? The reason is that the world becomes all sea, and the sea in awe becomes nothing. When a sperm comes into existence, a soul is breathed into it. Then it has billions of things in it that are of no use to it in its mother's womb, but are used when it comes out. It has billions of things. It just wants to eat some lactose from the mother's blood. As our friends say, it eats some fructose, which is interpreted as blood. It mixes two sugars with some glucose and is very happy. Four amino acids also pop up in it, and they start to move around. And two or three viruses also emerge. So the mother's food has a great effect on the child's body. Swearing at your mom or not swearing at her during those 9 months has a great effect. The trees in your house have an effect. Dictatorship has an effect. My dear, even if a country is a dictatorship, your sperm is corrupt. You don't know this. Look, assume you take away the queen bee. I'll put a queen for the bees that I produce myself. She's the ruler there. The honey that comes out is not legitimate, it's illegitimate, because all the worker bees and all the termites and all the honeybees know that she became queen by force. The previous queen was killed and this one came. The spirit of the honeybee no longer exists in it. The spirit of democracy, which you don't understand anything about, doesn't exist in this honey, Mr. Opposition. Why isn't honey healing now? Because people put a beehive and they go and put a queen by force and they tell all the honeybees, this is your queen. This book, there is no doubt in it, is a guide for the righteous. هذا الكتاب لا ريب فيه هديا للمتقين. This book is your book. Then you say, it is written here, this book, there is no doubt in it. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه. Well, why is there haza? We are Christians. Why? Because we believe in Jesus and the book of Jesus. He doesn't even know Jesus. And his book was written later, thank God, like the Avesta, which was written about 97, 98 years, more than 100 years later. The Avesta was written 600 years later. The spirit of the beehive is ruined because of that dictator queen, the new queen, a queen whose soldiers and advisors know that this queen is not that queen, but they remain silent so they can eat later, because they eat the queen later. For the sake of food, positions, and power, they remain silent. This filthy spirit within the honeybee is the reason this honey is not good honey now. Honey means that a queen is produced in it. It means there's only one queen in it and the spirit is in there and many other things. Now this sperm, the bigger it gets, what happens? It gets to a point where it comes out. Everything in the world seems to be in the sperm. The sperm of me as a baby was 1 month old, 2 months old, 3 months old, and it didn't understand anything. It reached 7 months and understood it had ears, eyes, and could hear sounds. It comes out and sees the earth. It sees the universe. All these things that you have in a virtual world, in a flash memory, and it's a game. The sperm sees it all as it grows. The stomach, intestines, eyes, ears, and millions upon millions of veins and so on are in the little sperm. He says that by its growth, it understands the world. This means the knowledge of the world is in power. It is inherent in my sperm, so that when I am born, I can know my mom and then talk. But in the sperm, it doesn't know this. So where is talking? In the sperm. Where is smiling? In the sperm. Where is the eyebrow? In the sperm. Where is the hand? In the sperm. Where is the ear? In the sperm. How many times bigger is my ear now than it was in my sperm? 500 times. So he says the entire world is in the sperm. I built a car. Where? In the sperm. Who made the periodic table? Mendeleev. Where did Mendeleev come from? From the sperm. Everything you see in the world is in the sperm. For this reason, he says that the world of power is an unseparated sperm. When it gets bigger, it is divided and extracted, and the derivatives of this crude oil sperm gradually come out, and they understand what uses it has, where it is used. Now we'll put this in his nose to see if he's an infidel or not. Now we'll take this one to prison and torture him. What is his opinion? We'll take this one's money. These are all events that were in the sperm. Thank you for listening to this program. I leave you to your real father, the one we were fatherless from before the restart, perhaps. Now we know a father exists. We must know him. I leave you in the care of your real father, and from me, wish your artificial physical father a happy Father's Day. But also tell your father that he too had a father whom he was not aware of, and that Father is truly the Father, and the only way for humanity to be saved is through that Father. Goodbye.